Blind Square. Leading the way to accessible navigation.
Yet another Blind Square show. Got you set up with a system.
No, there's this new ILCA law that all Blind Square show hosts have to have duplicate for safety reasons.
Alright. I don't know.
Let's start the show.
Our phones to,
you know, don't disturb, yeah. I guess we should do that.
Let's do it. Turn on
do not disturb.
Okay,
I'll
do not disturb.
Oh, and
open Blind Square.
Due to several technical difficulties, the first 5 minutes of the radio show didn't get recorded. We are deeply sorry for that. However, we can guarantee you that the first 5 minutes didn't contain any new or useful information about Blind Square 3.0. The rest of the show is well recorded and ready to play right now. Again, we are very sorry. And let's hope for less technical difficulties in the future. Anyway, the Blind Square is what matters.
So, we shouldn't be... I personally wouldn't be very ashamed, because we have done many, many shows and gotten through the difficulties without any, I mean, without any many major technical difficulties, so...
This will be the first.
It's a first, yeah.
Deploy that task camp.
Johanna's gone. I heard her voice somewhere, but she didn't...
I can hear her right here.
Yeah.
Where?
To my right. She's on the right hand side.
Oh, there we go. Sorry, Johanna. Can you talk? Can you talk a bit more? And why can't I hear her?
I don't know.
Can you... I think you can hear you now.
Okay.
Yes, we can hear you now.
Are we... Does it work now?
I will ask.
Some technical difficulties, you know, sometimes do happen. That's the thing when you do internet broadcasting.
That's what I said. I said that, you know, Blind Square is now 3 years old, and 3 year olds are difficult.
Sort of making sometimes mess.
Yeah.
It just crashed.
What crashed?
It's off away. Tintop just decided bye.
Oh.
Okay, now.
And welcome to the world of accessible navigation. Let's try this thing again. No, Jakob, let's go back to the Blind Square thing, which is the subject of the day anyways. So, what is that accessible navigation thing?
Oh, accessible navigation. It's the way of getting you from point A to point B without you using sight. So Blind Square will help you to get there by announcing interaction intersections and POIs, which are points of interest around you all the time. So you will be aware of your location and also of your destination, because Blind Square also gives you information about your destination once you have
set it. Okay, someone just said that it's working now. So
great, welcome to
happy.
The Blind Square. Shall we play the intro again? Because
no.
No.
As long as Blind Square can lead you to bacon enlightenment, nothing else matters.
Great. So, Blind Square is all about accessible navigation, which giving you access to places. Oh, giving you access to places where you wouldn't have been able to go yourself before. Does that suit you? The explanation.
Yeah. And that's an app I built 3 years ago And I started it from the idea what I could do with smartphones, with GPS, with open data, what problem I could solve, and I decided to start doing an accessible navigation app for the blind people, and that's how it started 3 years ago.
What was your impetus for this? Because I don't think before that you knew many blind people, if any, so I'm always curious how that started in the first place, the thought for it.
Yeah, so I didn't know actually none. So I started from the technological interest, what I can do with speech synthesizers, smartphones, open data, etc., and thought about that. Nowadays there are a lot of data sources available, there is a lot of information what's around you, and I just figured out that maybe there is so much happening right now, 3 years ago, that will allow new kind of services for the blind people. And then I start learning what kind of problems there are by reading blog postings. Usually when you are starting to build new applications, you first find users and start to discuss with them. But usually you have already set your mindset what you are going to solve. I didn't do that, but I started to read blog postings of blind people and learn what kind of daily issues they might have, and started to build something. And yeah, that's how it started.
My other question to you, or two in one if you will, is what's the hardest challenge you face building this app in terms of either coding or thinking outside of the box? Because my other question segues into, has this app made you think outside the box in some new and interesting ways as a result?
The hardest problem I really can't think of, because my style of solving issues is to first think of what is the actual hardest thing to program, and then I start splitting it into parts and one by one, and problem it is so hard. And interesting tasks.
Okay, now we seem to have internet connection issues because it's breaking up for the listeners as well, the team talk side. So we missed a couple of last sentences. Hello? Hello? This isn't going very well today.
Okay, we'll be back.
Yes.
Somewhere is having internet issues. Oh, yes, they are.
I
don't know where it is.
But I am... I was able to hear some sounds of yours all the time.
That's really crazy.
Okay. Sundays aren't very good for shows, it seems.
No.
Both the time zone and... That's the thing.
Yes. It's all that sea salt getting into the equipment.
Hey guys, stop looking at the pretty pictures and listen to Buzz.
And
yeah,
I'm sorry to say this.
85, thank you.
I'm sorry to say this, but this thing has dropped us out of the stream as well. What the hell was that? I don't like.
You know what I think happened? The connection to the server for everybody just flopped a bit. I don't think it was actually ourselves that had the net connection. Must have been Linode's end. Which is a rarity, because every time we've done a show before, this has worked perfectly well. Something hates us.
Yeah.
Still, we'll work it out. That's what we do. We're full of technical excellence here, so we're going to make it happen.
Hey, at least they will have the archive.
Archive.
I hope it's archiving. If it's not, then it wouldn't be just major fail.
This is but how it goes.
Just connect.
Ooh. Hey, I didn't do that.
I didn't either.
It was on my end.
Right. It doesn't want to connect with the... Let me just completely close. And then open.
Sandra did it.
Right, let's try it once more.
At least.
Oh, there we go. We're back live now. Now we're back on the internet, and people can.
Someone might want to tweet about it.
The interwebs is returning.
All right. Despite all the technical difficulties, I think we should start unwrapping the Blind Square 3.0 feature set. Maybe we should briefly mention what we did on version 2, and then go to what we are going to do now on version 3. So version 2, the big thing was to bring us remote use of Blind Square, so you don't have to interact directly with your phone. You don't have to take it out of your pocket when you're out on the streets.
Yeah, so the audio menu system was introduced, so it is a way where you can use your headset remote control Blind Square to activate commands, add places, look around, etc. So it's safer to use app when it's on your pocket and you are just listening, and when you need to interact with that, you use your headphone remote to start different things. So that was one of the major features one year ago.
So where did you get the idea? Because I haven't seen it actually any other app use the headphone remote for anything else but music playback.
Yes.
So it's pretty unique idea actually.
Yes, it is, and it was based on the feedback from the users. Some user said that in some countries, if you take out your device, if blind person takes out iPhone on a public space, it gets stolen.
Yep.
And he asked, "Can please give me more features where I can use Blind Square safely?" At that sense, and it took me probably 6 months or so to finally figure out that I can make use of those remote control ring features if I say to iOS that my app is a music player, and not so many apps do that. Of course, Sky kind of thing or Spotify kind of thing. Spotify is a music player, so it makes sense, but it was nice that Apple approved my app, because it's not a music player, but it's kind of producing sounds on the fly based on what's around you, so it kind of makes sense to have next to skip sentences and play to give some content. Yeah.
Yes, it is.
It's a great invention, and because it doesn't only allow you to use the remote control on your Aftershocks or other headphones, but it also allows you to use it right now on the Apple Watch without you being you having done anything else for the Apple Watch support. So already people can use it on their Apple Watches.
Yeah, that's true. And there is also a short instruction about that. I think we have got that also, so we could play that instruction. At least start from that.
We have a demo from David Woodbridge about how it would be used.
Yes, I guess thanks to David.
Thanks to David, who has done not only this demo, but he has made a very extensive overview about Apple Watch and its accessibility features. So I guess we should play it and see how Blind Square can be used on Apple Watch right now.
Welcome to another Apple Watch feature demonstration, and in this demonstration I want to show you how you can control the Blind Square GPS app running on your iPhone from the Now Playing Glance on your Apple Watch. So of course for this demonstration I've already previously installed the Blind Square GPS app on my iPhone. So first of all I'm going to launch Blind Square GPS with Siri, and of course I'm going to hold down the home button, wait for the beep, and just say open Blind Square. Open blind square.
Blind square. Search. Button. Double tap to perform a search.
So I've opened blind square. So I'm going to pop my iPhone down. And I'm going to wake up my Apple Watch by pressing the digital crown once.
10:05 a.m.
Okay, and I'm going to do a two-finger flick up the screen, of course, using VoiceOver to bring up my glances.
Now playing. 0 seconds.
And all I need to do to start the blind square automated menus is just flick to the right.
Previous track, pause.
Button. And double tap on the pause button.
Swipe up or down to select a custom action location. Play. Sleep mode.
Okay, location, sleep mode.
Around. Button.
Look around.
Around me.
Around me.
GPS info.
GPS info, double tap.
Accuracy, play. 5 meters. 0 kilometers per hour. Pause. Heading. Button. Compass, north.
Okay, of course, 0 kilometers an hour because I'm actually not moving anywhere at the moment. So literally, I can actually use that play pause button to start the automated menus running and select which one I want to use. So again, my watch has just gone to sleep, so let me press digital crown again once.
0 seconds.
And I'm still back to the glance. So if I touch the middle of the screen.
Pause. Button.
And double tap again.
Location.
Double tap on location.
Location. Address is 22 New Avenue, Narara, heading northwest.
Okay, and let's say I wanted to get the weather today. Double tap on that pause button again.
Location. Play. Sleep mode. Pause. Look around. Button. Around me. GPS info. Time. Add place. Weather. Play. Temperature 15 degrees. Pause. Mostly cloudy throughout the day.
And interestingly enough, if I flick back to the left,
previous track,
button. And I double tap on the previous track button,
swipe
it just gives me.
To select a custom action, then double tap to activate.
It just gives me my current location. So if I double tap,
previous track, address is 22 New Avenue, Narara, heading northwest.
Which is interesting because if I flick to the right,
pause. Next track,
and try the next track button.
Next track.
It doesn't actually do anything. So at the moment, I can use that previous button to get my current location, or I can use the play pause button to cycle through the automated menus in blind square, and of course double tap it to use the item I want. And of course I can also adjust the volume by using the glance as well. So let me flick to the volume control.
Previous track, pause. Next track, volume 69%.
Okay,
adjustable.
So 69%, I'm going to turn up.
79, 89, 99%, 100%.
Okay, 100%. So now if I flick back to the left,
pause.
And I double tap on pause, you'll actually hear that blind square is increased in volume.
Location. Pause. Your location. Address is 22 New Avenue, Narara, heading northwest.
Let me flick to the right to the volume control.
Volume. 100%.
And flick down.
90%, 80%, 70%, 60%.
Okay, I'll leave it at 60% this time, slightly lower than it was originally.
Next, pause.
Double tap.
Button. Play. Sleep mode.
Okay, and double tap on sleep mode.
Play. Sleep mode on.
And I put blind square to sleep for the moment. So let me just put my watch to sleep. I'm going to put my hand over it. So that's how easy it is to use the blind square GPS app with the now playing glance. I should probably note that if you try and do this via the music app, it'll literally just start playing music on your iPhone. It won't control the now playing function on your iPhone. Now, I've noticed sometimes that when I've been using the glance and I've locked the watch, pressing the digital crown takes me back to the now playing glance. If it doesn't do that, however, just remember that you need to return to the clock face screen and then do a two-finger flick up to get back to your last used glance, which would normally be the now playing glance if you've been using that before, or you can just do a two-finger flick left and right to get to the appropriate now playing glance, and of course use the play pause button to start stop the automated menus and select an item, or use the previous button to get your current location, and of course you can adjust the volume of blind square running on your iPhone as well. So that completes this quick tip demonstration. I hope you've enjoyed listening to it, and as always, thanks for listening, and bye for now. Welcome to another Apple Watch feature.
Yeah, not anymore. thanks, David, for this amazing and great demo, how blind square can be used on the Apple Watch. It's definitely doable, but right now it isn't as perfect as, you know, one can hope for, as you have to still hear the phone's audio from your phone.
But you could connect it to a Bluetooth headset, and then couldn't you?
Yes.
Connect that to it, and then you've got it on your wrist and have all.
Yeah, exactly. It's very easy to do it this way, but I'm sure that Ilkka has ideas for future integration with Apple Watch, and you know, so you could do more on the Apple Watch.
Yeah, that's true. I have already tested that. I can make watch to launch Blind Square, and I can make it work together with Blind Square. Even I'm supporting iOS 5, 6, 7, and 8. So it took some testing to make sure that is it even possible to make an app that still supports all iOS versions plus watch, which is supported
Apple
only
watch.
On iOS.
Yeah.
Apple Watch. But my tests are fine, so I know now that I can do it. But I'm not rushing it because I need to first learn how to actually use this watch and also to see other apps, great apps that has great use for watch, and then to learn all voiceover tricks on a watch. So I have been using it already when I have been traveling. So I'm running Blind Square, and I'm running Apple Maps, and I'm running watch in voiceover mode. And I can feel tapping on my wrist to which direction I need to turn. So I think it will be great, but I need to first learn how it works.
But we know that when you learn it as deep as it goes, and you can use every function there is to make it awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
So that will be...
Yeah, Blind Square will be like, your heartbeat is too high. Don't worry, you'll get you unwashed in a moment.
Exactly.
So, let's talk a bit about the message. Blind Square isn't blind anymore inside.
Yes, exciting.
What does it mean?
We are releasing our indoor support. So basically what it means that Apple introduced maybe 1.5 years ago a thing called iBeacon. It's basically palm-sized tiny little thing with batteries inside. Runs 2 years with a tiny little battery, and it emits its ID couple times per second. So it's a really dumb thing, but if you place this into building, into important places, your smartphone can detect what ID it sees and roughly how far it is. And even it's Apple's technology, they are not building these themselves. A lot of manufacturers are building them, and this system works also on Android phones. So this really brings indoor navigation, makes it really, really first time possible with the pretty cheap technologies. And yes, I have been building this system for 1 year, how to make it perfect for the blind people. There are not so many implementations of iBeacons in the world, but usually when they have been built for sighted users. So there might be iBeacon on entrance, telling about the store or opening hours, etc. And then another beacon in department telling about what kind of stuff, what kind of offers there are, etc. But when the departments are moving around, it is not something that blind people can benefit so much, because blind persons need to know consistency, to have a know that whenever they get that place, they will get that same message every time. So I have built a system that makes it possible.
That's a very cool idea.
I really like the idea. So
yes, it is. I would like to see how it works.
Any of it?
Yes.
I think we shall play the demonstration video. You all obviously hear only the audio version, but we will play you the video about Blind Square's indoor navigation features, so you can hear what it actually sounds like as a blind user. So here we go.
We begin with an aerial view of the ITIS Mega Mall in Helsinki, Finland. We approach a blind pedestrian walking down the street. She is guided by the augmented reality application Blind Square.
Nearest address is Turunlinen 12, Helsinki, 20 meters at 10 o'clock, heading west.
She is comfortable as she walks, but her journey is enhanced as she is advised by speech and tones to places of interest.
Pan, Aksha, 50 meters at 10 o'clock. Bus station, HSL Itakeskus Bus Terminali, 110 meters at 2 o'clock.
And alerted as she approaches the mall entrance.
It is shopping mall entrance, southwest. Chapasasi, 4 doors. Doors on the left are automated, a second set of doors after the vestibule.
Now listen as she is alerted to the intersection of a corridor.
Crossing, S Market. Straight ahead, Passasi, towards the boulevard.
Listen as she is alerted to the presence of an escalator to her left.
Escalator, Passasi. Crossing, Hesburger.
Whether the turns are sharp or angled, she knows her options in advance and chooses the direction of her interest.
The junction of Passasi and Diagonal. Crossing, Hesburger. Out towards the eye iris. Side passage to the Hansa Bridge and an elevator. The Hansa Bridge, a way to an elevator. An elevator at the end of the hallway 10 meters away.
Listen as she is alerted to the presence of an elevator, the presence of vending machines, and building exits. All conveyed, hands-free, as she walks.
Elevator, minus 2 floor.
No hesitation, no need to ask for help. Autonomous travel indoors. Imagine!
Escalator, minus 1, cephalog.
She continues to use her cane to navigate, but is advised, silently to those around her, of all important junctures, features, and obstacles. She is always aware of her location, always aware of her choices, not just a single path. This is all based on Apple's iBeacon technology, a palm-sized, battery-powered device that emits a silent Bluetooth signal, then recognized by Blind Square as a location. Each new location provides important information and the power of choice and independence.
How cool was that?
It ended pretty abruptly.
Yes, and if you want to hear it again, you can go to our website, which we'll probably mention later on, because there will be the entire video on it, because this is just the first part, and then there's a part where we hear some interviews with the people that Ilkan has tested the system with, and you have to turn on your subtitles, and then you can read them and hear what they think.
I want to test it.
Come to Finland. Let's go to Burger King.
Okay, I'll just jump in a suitcase with Blind Square's help, and I'll be there in a minute.
So who can test it now?
Yeah, so we have implemented this in one shopping mall here in Helsinki, Finland. It is shopping mall, and then we are currently implementing this in CNIB headquarters in Toronto, and we will be implementing also New Zealand, Wellington later. This summer.
Cool. The winter, isn't it?
Yeah, but this is... sorry. This is something that we need to first build it and then see how we can deploy it. And I have some ideas how to make also something you can deploy your home, but that's not yet available.
Oh man, that'd be so fun. Just the things you could do with beacons, man.
Yes.
I will tell you actually a useful story as early adopters of the technology. In the airport, I had a beacon in my suitcase, And so when my suitcase came on the carousel, I had blind square listening for that beacon, and I picked up my suitcase straight from the carousel as a test of this.
Hey, you
so
shouldn't...
That's a good normal use case.
You shouldn't put...
You use case?
Use case. You shouldn't put transmitting devices into your suitcases, which go on airplanes. Because all transmissions should be suspended for the flight. Anyway, that's not the point.
It was a virtual hypothetical plane and a virtual hypothetical airport.
Actually, I don't know if there is nothing, no problem, because these things, they ship battery powered, so they are always from the factory they are transmitting, but it's so low power needed and high frequency that I think it's just okay to have it on a plane too.
So you cannot really turn them off anyway. So yes.
Yeah.
Nope.
Yeah.
A lot of things these days.
Then they couldn't sell them if they can't turn them off. Then they couldn't ship them anywhere. So we can't use them in suitcase then.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's true. It was so cool. I mean, the carousel in this virtual airport was so huge. I had to wait for it to come around a few times, and then eventually on the third pass we got it. It's like, okay, here it comes, here it comes, here it comes. Grab it. It made me happy ding ding noise and said, Andre 3.
Yeah.
So you know which one it was.
Yeah.
I wish I would have had that when I was at Edinburgh Airport at Lilston Farm, because they didn't see my suitcase. I told them the colour, and there was only one left, and they didn't think of telling me that there was one left, and they didn't show it to me. Only when I asked. So if I had a beacon in it, then I would have had to spend half an hour there, filling out forms.
That is the trouble with people that can see. They assume that you can see what they can see. And this happens a lot. So with Blind Square, which is actually a very useful app, you don't have to worry about dealing with these people most of the time.
Yeah. Earlier this year, I went to US and I had iBeacons on my suitcase, and I checked if my suitcase is on board, and I saw it's not there. But and they really had lost it, and got it. I got it a couple of weeks later at home, but that was something that I couldn't go to say, hey, my suitcase is not anymore, because I'm not seeing it transmission, so I didn't say that.
Yeah, what's the range of the beacons? How far were you able to, from what distance did you see the suitcase?
Yeah, so that's actually something you can fine-tune, so you can program this with your iPhone, for example. And if you set it to maximum, it is 70 meters, and if you set it to minimum, it's only maybe 1 meter or so. So there are different use cases. For example, we have tested this, we have had this on a buses here in Helsinki, and it is very nice that when you are waiting for the bus, it gives enough time for you to know which bus is reaching. So.
So if you have, if you would be able to put an iBeacon on every bus in the city, and you know the iBeacon would know the line, then you would just stand at the bus stop, and blind squirrel would tell you what bus just arrived into the bus stop. That just would be so great. I would love it.
Yeah, and we have one beta tester in US, and his wife has this in her car. So this guy knows when his wife is coming home, because iBeacon is sending signal, and he knows she's here.
And it's secure, because I understand that nobody else with their iPhone wouldn't be able to detect it. I mean, if you have blind square, you will be, but for example, there would be people who want to track the signal, and they wouldn't be able to do it, because it's only with the beacon would be visible only for blind square.
Actually, iBeacon system itself, it doesn't have security at all, and that's something I really like, because it means that it can be somebody else who has placed the iBeacons, and still other apps can tap into that data stream. But you need to know the ID so that it would be useful. But it's something that if somebody would place iBeacons to the buses...
That should be available.
And we could use crowdsourcing, for example, in Blind Square, to collect information which car number that is. You need to know that usually buses they are running several lines, so then you need also to connect to some live system that knows which car is in which line. So.
Yes, exactly. But if it would work, or we should say when it would work, that would be a totally awesome way to know what bus it is. Because right now, that's, for me, it's the biggest trouble of navigating alone. I mean, it's not trouble, I just ask people around, but still, this is the only thing I cannot do independently. I can't know what bus arrived to the station right now. I have to go and ask.
Yeah, that's true.
And people don't often want to talk to you. That's
yes.
the trouble with today's society. Like, excuse me, what the bus, and they're like, go away. That's not very helpful.
Oh, yeah, and if they do want to talk to you, then they ask you questions you don't always want to.
Can you see black? How blind are you? I tell you, for me, the biggest use of beacons I would like to see would be in UK train stations, because we still have a lot of diesel trains over here. So as soon as you walk into a train station, you know you're in a train station.
It's noisy.
It's ridiculous. And a lot of these train stations are really huge, and they're national rail. So because of that, you have, 15 to 25 trains running at any one time. Some of them coming and some of them leaving. Airports are actually quieter than train stations.
Plus, there are... I have been in your train stations, and they have very loud announcements for obvious reasons, because the conditions are loud, but the announcements have to be louder, so they're even louder, and that makes the whole place very, very noisy. If you add the people and the crying children, then you have to hear the information in your headphones, and you have to rely more on that, what Blind Square tells you. So, I assume that right now, if Blind Square 3.0 would be released, the people in Finland would be very happy to go to the marketplace, I mean the mall, and they can use the Blind Square indoor navigation.
Yeah, that's true, and for now I didn't turn it by default on, because most of the people in the world are not being able to test it. So my users in Finland, they need to go to settings and turn Bluetooth options on. There is setting for Bluetooth beacons, and you just turn it on, and then you can go to Itis shopping mall and start enjoying it. And Johanna, you have been testing this.
Yeah.
What's your experience?
Well, I have to say that when I went there first time, I was like drowning to the sea of information. I'm like, wow, so much things that I didn't know. So many things, like the doors and the Hess burger. I love hamburgers for one thing. And I'm like, yeah, I want to go there and eat, and escalators and all that. I just got a new guide dog, and I just can't wait to go back there and do all of that again with my dog.
So you still have to know vaguely where the place is where you want to go. So, for example, the burger place is on second floor, or the pizza place is on the third, and then more burger places are on the first floor. So you have to know where it is in terms of the place. But when you start navigating towards it, you will get an idea by just listening what Blind Square tells you about the different places. You can obviously be adventurous and try to find itself.
Yes, and you can see things like, we did this experiment where a couple blind people went there, and first we did it without the iBeacon thing, like try to find our way from place A to place B, and then with the iBeacon thing, and the difference was quite huge, I have to say.
I want to now come to Finland and really test this, because I'm very excited.
Yes, please, let's have a recording with both ambience and the phone going at the same time, because I would like to hear that from the user's perspective and the phone's perspective.
And did they label all of the shops there in the area that was equipped? So is it just like walking, someone sighted walking there and then getting all the info?
We don't have all stores there, but the basic idea I have is we place iBeacons the most important decision points. So you have them on entrances, on intersections, escalators, ways towards elevators, etc. And then we have pretty enriched information It tells you are at the crossing of S Market store and you are heading towards that and that place. And if you turn around, you will hear S Market store is that way. If you turn around, it says trams are that way, etc. So on one eye beacon, we have a lot of messages in multiple levels. So all that is based on the test we did. Like Johanna said, we have been walking there and shooting videos, etc. without and with eye beacons and learned how to do it well. So for example, Blind Square users has used to shake the device when they want to know where they are. Now, if you are near iBeacon, it will pick up that and say, you are at this corner, and then it reads aloud what you can find in different directions.
And I assume that you're using the compass for that then, so that you know which way the user is oriented?
Yes, we use compass and also knowledge of what iBeacons you have seen earlier, so it knows if you are coming from the metro station or
going
it knows that kind of additional information. But I need to say that in this way of doing it, we don't need a lot of these iBeacons. So we are now covering 20,000 square meters, which is 200,000 square feet. And we use only 18 iBeacons. And we have more than 80 messages on those.
So just to mention, the iBeacons themselves, the price of one unit isn't very high either. So if there are any people who are interested to making
their home
or their office or something accessible, it is not expensive. 18 iBeacons isn't a lot. How much does one cost?
One costs roughly 20 euros.
Oh, there you go. That's not big price at all if you consider, you know, the price of
not losing your suitcase.
yeah. If you know, you're gonna help so many people, all the blind people would benefit, and 18 beacons it's not bad.
Yeah, even that Burger King in Finland was huge. It felt like a cavernous train station. A couple of eye beacons in there to get you from door to counter wouldn't go amiss either.
Yeah, at least I would say that in many places, two or three eye beacons would be great. So when they have information based on also compass direction, you know you are here and there is 50 meters ahead, there is a counter desk. So I believe it would be really good way to use eye beacons.
So what can people do if they want a place equipped with a system, and they obviously talk to the operator or owner, and then what can...
Yeah, so first of all, we needed to have this technology available in Blind Square, and now it is, and it has been tested, and it works well, etc., etc. Then we are cooperating with Contact.io. It's one of the beacon manufacturers, and they do great job with their iBeacon, so that's why I'm using them. And actually tomorrow, Contact.io is releasing their new campaign called Beacons for Good. And I think it could be part of this equation, how to get beacons to the place where they are needed. Jakob, do we have some message from Contact.io about that campaign they are launching tomorrow?
We very sure do. Let's listen what's Beacon.io and what they do, and what's the campaign for Beacons for Good.
Beacons for Good is a new project from Contact.io that's dedicated to helping out people in need all around the world. The Internet of Things is a revolutionary new way for computers to interact with the world around us, and we don't want for those who are in need to get left behind. Beacons have unlimited uses for business and for home use, but there are also hundreds of ways they can transform lives for the better. More ways than we can think of, that's for sure. We want to create a program where the best uses for beacons for good causes can be discovered, so that there's no barrier for entry to people who want to make the world better, and that together we can all benefit from the power of proximity. And to do this, we need your help. Why is this so important to us? Contact.io was originally started to help the visually impaired navigate indoor environments, just like Blind Square. After creating some of the earliest beacons on the market, we realized that this technology had many more applications than just helping the visually impaired, so we've since gone on to a broader scope of activities. We haven't forgotten our roots, though, and here's where we give back. If you're a charity and you have a great idea for how to make a difference with beacons, go to beaconsforgood.org and fill out our simple registration form. At the beginning of each month, we will take the entries we've received and post them on beaconsforgood.org for voting. There we will let the community at large see what ideas have been created and vote for the uses that they think are best. Every month we will give away 100 beacons for good to the best charity or charities that the community has found. Further, anyone who wants to buy beacons and make them publicly available for a charitable organization like Blind Square can receive a discount on their beacon purchase. Saving money by giving back to the community is a great deal for everyone. Good beacons and good causes can combine to make a better world for everyone in need. Go to beaconsforgood.org to find out more. Thanks.
Hey, that's cool.
That's really cool. So
everyone can contribute to making something available only by suggesting a place.
Exactly. And 100 beacons. That's a lot. You can
goes a long way.
Cover up many great places.
You can probably cover a fair a medium-sized city, or maybe just the whole of London. 100 beacons.
True.
This how Blind Square uses them, it's very different from some implementers I have seen. So many implementers, they are using this differently. So they place iBeacons very close to each other, and then they use triangulation to calculate your XY coordinate inside building. Then they need a map, and you have a dot on a map, and then you still need to know where are the businesses and important places. Mm-hmm. I took another approach, just by knowing that blind people with white cane, they can go straight and they can walk toward the walls. You don't need to show a point on a map, but we need to know where you are right now and how far is some place and on what direction. So for that reason, I'm minimizing the need for iBeacons, and I hope it will make this scalable, so it is much easier to implement many new places, because I'm trying to minimize amount of iBeacons.
So I understand that right now, personally, as an individual, there is no good solution for me to get the beacons and set it up at my home. I mean, okay, I can get the beacons, obviously, but the programming for Blind Square is the tricky bit. So how would this work? That was a bad example, actually. So if I would be an owner of an office building which I would want to make accessible, I would get the beacons. What happens next?
Yeah, so now it's a semi-manual thing to do. Actually, we have blindsquare.com/indoor that explains how it works. So we currently use Google Sheet as a data storage platform, where you can define messages for the iBeacons to different directions, etc. And it's pretty nice because it's cloud-based, and it also offers offline use for the Blind Square. So your Blind Square knows how to download the file from Google, and then it works. But we are working on also with an admin tool. It will be actually Android-based tablet app that will see all iBeacons around you, and there you can add messages when you are at the premise, and you save it, and then it starts working on a Blind Square. But that's something we are right now implementing, and it's not yet available, but it will be compatible with what we already have. So now we are releasing this and start using it and learn more. At the same time, we are building that admin app.
That's actually great. We're waiting for the solutions, and I hope that many people who are actually working in offices and malls and public places are willing to do that. And obviously, blind people themselves can do a lot for this by just submitting the details to contact.io, and also talking to people who work at the public place where they want to have accessible indoor navigation. Explain their difficulties and the system used, and that's you can help it yourself as well. So I think it's a very good and put
from cab to counter. From cab to counter would be any big place that you get out of a cab and you're dropped off, and you know, the help is actually available to you, but you just can't get it. So with the help of Beacon, you can get to the place you need to be, from the cab to the counter, and then from the counter you can get assistance. So
yeah,
cab to counter would be a great kind of initiative.
Cab to counter.
Everybody come help me with this.
Yeah.
Well, you can obviously, as it doesn't require so many beacons to make it accessible, you could also implement more information in there, like cab to counter. You know that where's the door, where are the steps, escalators, and things. But in some cases, there are multiple counters which serve different purposes.
Yeah.
Exactly. So you can do that.
Well, I think that, you know, the use case actually is when we went to Birmingham the first time.
Yep.
We went from cab to assistant point, and we hit that assistance point, and nobody came to assist. So had we had beacons, we could have actually found the door, because we didn't know where the entrance was. There was a big station, again with a noise, and gone up to the escalator and gone up to the counter from there. But, you know, because we didn't get any assistance, even though we had asked for it, that's human error, not our error, that we would have been still stuck there today, later, waiting for some help.
So the beacons, and the way it worked was where we went inside, and we were trying to find some people around who you know, to ask help for, but there wasn't really nobody. It was a big hall of nothing, and the whole place was deserted. And then we heard a lift door noise on the right side, and we just rushed there because there is, you know, it's like sort of, it felt to me like some kind of computer game where you just go around at a deserted place, and then you find another pathway which you haven't explored yet. So you go there to see if there is anything interesting. And we got downstairs, and we found an escalator, and somebody came and asked if we need help, and they had helped us to their office. But that was a strange experience. And with the beacons being in the place, that would have been just
10 times easier.
Yeah, because we would have walked in, my blind squirrel would tell us that there is a lift right side, we would go right side, find the lift, go downstairs, it would say that the office is on the left, we go left, and it would just tell when we are there, and done. Easy.
And it goes, well, you know, if you're going to another country and you're new and somebody is going to meet you at whatever point, when you tell the person that you're meeting, I'm supposed to be at this point in time, when you hear that noise for that beacon, you can, you know, locate them. There's all kind of ways and to use this technology instead of just for the everyday stuff. The out-of-the-way stuff like that would be awesome as well.
Yeah, and actually iPhone itself can act as a beacon, so that's one idea I have, to make live sharing of your location to the friend.
People finding.
And the last 20 meters would be easier if you have kind of ranging with your Bluetooth signals.
I think lots of people would be waiting for
that. I cannot wait for that. Jakob and I were clever and we used radios to shout at each other.
Yes, but for blind people it would be very useful. And also, it should be possible to share your location for, you know, everybody, because I might want to tell my sighted friend where I am, or I'm completely lost, and I don't know, somehow the GPS signal has gone away, so I can't use Blind Square, and I can ask some people that, can you help me, I'm here, where I should go. I know people use a lot of Find My Friends, but it would be easier with Blind Square, so they can, you know, track you universally.
And this is also good for emergency services, too.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah.
Now that it's theoretically available to everyone can buy beacons. Now, if I want to buy a beacon and put it in my suitcase or do whatever with it, then what do I have to do? Because, okay, the organization, they talk to you, Ilka, and then you set up their form. But if I'm a private user and want to use it with Plain Square, what do I do?
Yeah, so that kind of service is not yet available, but I have plans to do that, and I have actually have a discussion with Contact.io what would be the best way to implement it. So my thinking is that it should be something that it's easy to order by iBeacons, and when you order, Plain Square would know I already IDs of those, and then you would have user interface on your Plain Square. So actually, when the postal packets comes to you, Plain Square would already notify, hey, your iBeacons are here, because it can see them. yeah. But then, really simple interface. So what I have been thinking of is that if Plain Square sees unregistered iBeacon, you can give a name for it and maybe give a rule. Do you want it to be close to you, or is it something that you will get notified when you get close to it? So then it's solving the problem. If somebody gets your purse, you will get a warning if you had an iBeacon there. Yeah, or then you use it for marking your hotel room, for example. You put it inside of your hotel room, and then when you get close, you will get information, you are close. And actually, even in this current version of Plain Square, there is a thing called beacon radar. And what it does, if it sees known iBeacon, it starts giving it that kind of ping. So you will be able to estimate your distance from the beacon.
That is so cool, because you made a really good point, actually, which is better than I was going to make. With the hotel, the big Paragon Hotel, which has lots and lots of rooms on many, many corridors, the amount of times we went up and down those corridors and got lost, or in the first time, not the second time, have a beacon in the room and you get closer and it pings faster would have been so amazing. Because staff cannot always help you from ground to room. And, you know, they show you once or twice and they expect you to kind of know it. And you can't sort of defile the door by putting a braille sticker on it. So a beacon would be so cool. Well, it probably wouldn't look very nice. So to toss a beacon in there, like, I don't know, on a shelf inside the door, so it's close enough to the outside world. And when you go to conventions and things, a lot of people at conventions would love this kind of thing. So yeah. off they go to cool conventions, and every blind person has their own iBeacon in their room. And this is my room, three doors down is you, two doors down is this guy. See you tomorrow.
Yeah. And actually, we are going to deploy this into several events. So, you know, Plain Square event, it's free version of Plain Square. Sponsored by Nipsoft and Acapella. So Acapella is providing all the sounds and voices for the event edition for free. Normally, Plain Square has a prize, and part of the prize is Acapella license for the voices. But this event edition, if any of you are going to run an event, you can ask support at blindsquare.com. We might be able to add your event to the free event edition. So it means that fully functional Plain Square will work at that event for free during the time of the event. And there we have possibility to use iBeacons and maybe set a couple of iBeacons there.
So it's a great way to use it. Is it possible for iPhone to detect unnamed or unassociated beacons? So, for example, if there is a beacon in range which hasn't been used before, can it detect it and tell me that there is a beacon nearby?
I can tell a few words about how iBeacon actually works. So there is three codes in it that is transmitting, and there is no encryption. So it's all unencrypted radio signal, and each iBeacon has so-called UUID. I think it's a 36-digit hexadecimal number, and the idea is that one premise or one company, all their iBeacons has the same UUID.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a major and minor numbers. So those two numbers makes it unique. So app needs to know UUID, what UUID to listen, and it's only one for in my case. And then major and minor number, it tells what the ID of the iBeacon is. And that's probably will be the problem, because if all vendors or shopping malls, etc., if they have all own UUIDs, how the app could know which ones to listen? And basically, that's the reason why we are building admin app to Android platform, because Android can see all. And that's way it makes us possible to see them all. Of course, we will ask owner of the premises if they can use, if they already have iBeacons. But since the admin app can see them all, it can then add text to them and push them to the cloud. And from the cloud, we can deliver that UUID also to Blindsquare app. So that's way it will be possible to see more iBeacons that you have self-deployed.
So technically, I could do with, if you have would have the admin Android app, and I know that there is a mall using iBeacons, for example, for advertising, I could go there with my Android tablet and it sees the beacon, and I can also make it available secretly to the Blindsquare users.
Yeah, that's the plan. That's what we are building. But of course, we will do it responsibly.
Yeah, of course,
Yeah. So
I was just
I would like to see that when companies are deploying iBeacons, that they would give permission us to use them also to Blindsquare, because we know that most of the apps will not be accessible, so they will be offering discounts, etc., for sighted people, and
yep,
most probably those apps will not be accessible. So if we can, if we get a kind of approval to use them also in Blindsquare, and this way I'm making it simple that I will have admin app that can see them, and we just get approval. Yes, you can use it for this use, and then we can use already available iBeacon network also for Blindsquare use. So
you obviously have worked a lot with iBeacons by now. So do you know why has it made like that, that they cannot be seen with an iPhone? Is it another Apple sandboxing idea, or why is it so? Because I think it's a bit ironic that with Android you can see the beacons, but you cannot see them with a device what Apple has also made.
I think a part of it can be that Apple is always building system that uses minimum amount of battery. So this all is built into iOS system, and even if your app is not running, you can register what UUIDs you are interested in, and it can wake your app.
Oh,
and
well,
if you would say any iBeacon will wake my app, it would consume a lot of battery. So I think this is something that is actually a nice idea for Apple to implement it this way. But
so you could just have be able to, you should be able to just make an app which would be able to detect all of them. I totally understand that, for example, when I don't know, Apple Store themselves would make it so that when you approach the stand of MacBooks, it would pop up an ad or a discount on your phone, and it doesn't wake on other iBeacons. But it should be optional, because I'm really glad that those iBeacons work. But for example, if I would be a sighted person who doesn't really know what does accessibility and independent navigation means, and I only use iPads, then them buying a tablet for just programming some kind of system, they are skeptical about. That's the weak part in there. So yeah, some might just think like that.
But I see that. We are able to solve the issue that how you can buy personal iBeacons and to have UUIDs that are common. I think I can solve that part, and then you can have personal iBeacons for your own use. And I have also an idea that you could also share that iBeacon. So then it's very close to the point that actually a hotel can order iBeacons through Blindspur and program them as they wish and then share it publicly.
I guess soon it's time to launch a Blind Square shop. Pre-programmed iBeacons for your office. So you can buy them already, which work with Blind Square or something like that. So that's very exciting. We have about 15 minutes until the show would end. Let's briefly talk what else has been updated in the Blind Square 3.0.
Okay, so we have 3D sounds, and it means that when you hear that ping when you are near some business, for example, now it is panning to the stereo. So if it's 3 o'clock, you will hear it right from the right side, and 9 o'clock, you will hear it from the left side. And it's good to know for some people if their hearing is not okay, that there is also accessibility feature in iOS, so you can turn that on, so then you will still hear everything from the center. So
the 3D audio would work for everything, not only the indoor navigation. Just to clarify that.
Yeah,
it's one of my favorite features actually, because when you're tracking something, and yeah, you may hear it says the speech is on the left, but I'm more paying attention to the sound because it comes first.
So yeah,
when
exactly.
That thing is coming on the left first, I know to tell the driver, right, pull up on the left.
Yeah.
Before speech said it. And this is one of the first things that we had a conversation about years ago, is that sound should do most of the work of speech. Back in the day, Blind Square was very verbose, but we made it less so with the introduction of sound.
I remember
that conversation quite vividly, and you were sort of impressed that we could do that just through sound, iconic sound.
Yeah, that's what we did, and actually when we added these sounds designed by Andre, we removed some text also. So earlier it said intersection, blah blah, etc. But now we have a sound for intersection, and then it says only the name. So we shortened the speech.
It is great. You're walking down the road, you know. You don't need to have a three-syllable long word to tell you what one sound could tell you. Boom, sound. And it does cut down your... actually enhances your experience, I think.
Yeah. One more feature. This is only for iPhone 6 and 6 Plus users. So now you have in GPS info screen, you have your elevation. And this is based on barometer, and you can reset your setting, so then it will show 0 meters or 0 feet. And when you go one stair up or down, you will see your elevation based on that base figure.
So I guess eventually this could be used for elevator rides. For example, you would know which floor you are on.
Yes, and I have tested this in ET shopping mall.
Oh, great.
And when you are in an elevator, pressure is not changing a lot, but when the door is open, it takes 2 seconds to pick up which floor you are. So I think it's fast enough you to take off. So I think it will be very nice.
And does it already tell you that?
I want to hear a demo of this.
Yes,
I want to see this.
It's you don't need to buy expensive, very, very expensive talking lifts anymore. Just put an iPhone with Blind Square in there and it talks to you.
Yeah, just fuse it into the back wall, because the phone is thin enough anyway.
Yeah.
It'd be great. Or an iPad, so it would look like a cool touchscreen as well. Yes. So it's like...
with speed.
Like and you can, you know, maybe it would use a lift control system, some kind of... so you could control the elevator also from the pad. Because that would just look so futuristic and cool.
Yeah. Hey Siri, take me to floor 12.
I actually have another idea how we can use that later on. So this is more like a nice feature to have for now, because sometimes it's good to know your elevation and it's pretty accurate. So at my home, I measured that my first floor and second floor, there is a difference of 3 meters. And when I use Blind Square to check it, it is off just 5 centimeters. So it's very accurate.
Wow, that's impressive.
Yeah, but I have an idea that actually comes from one of the Blind Square users, because even we have this indoor now. You have been able to use Blind Square indoor also, because there usually are a lot of Wi-Fi's around, so you can roughly know what direction the Starbucks is. And the question is, if you're in a shopping mall, how do you know in which floor it is? And that's something that is missing from Foursquare. So especially for blind people, it would be beneficial if you would know also that it's one floor up.
Yes,
that
I
direction.
I can attest to this problem myself.
Yeah, and my idea is that if we have enough iPhone 6 users of Blind Square, I could start recording your elevation when you are checking into places and report it back to our server. So that would give a possibility for other iPhone 6 users to get to know Starbucks is that way and two floors up.
However, I sometimes check in somewhere when I'm not there, because when I was there I didn't have time to do that, because then I was paying or doing something. So I go out of the shop and check in. That would be a problem for the data.
But actually Foursquare would implement that. So then we would have a lot of people checking into restaurants or Starbucks, and if they just would say elevation, they would get that data very quickly.
Exactly.
Yes. When I was at the same station actually with Jakob, I asked for a mobility assistance, and Blind Square told me it's in this direction, but they couldn't see the sign because it was a floor up.
Yeah, exactly.
You know that.
So that would be actually very helpful indeed.
Yeah,
that
so
one extra thing could be really good.
So Foursquare guys, if you are listening, please implement that. Swarm.
Yes.
You could write to them. Make them do it.
Yeah, I will write them. They have pretty nice accessibility team, and they have been listening when I have some ideas. So
I totally agree. Foursquare's accessibility has totally improved with what was there a few years ago. I really like its accessibility.
Just thought of something else. These beacons, what shape does the range around them have? For example, if you've installed them on the second floor and I'm on the first floor, will I then hear second floor messages, or what will happen?
Yes, so they are kind of omnidirectional, and for that reason, I have in my iBeacon dataset, I define which floor its iBeacon is, and then I have some knowledge that if you see multiple iBeacons of the first floor, and you can also see iBeacon from second floor. I'm not using that because there is more from first floor. But I will improve that later on, because there are certain places where you can be really sure that now I'm at the first floor. So if you have iPhone 6, I will automatically reset your parameter reading so that I know which floor you are based on the parameter. So I will get it improved later on, but in open spaces that can be problem.
Anyway, the indoor navigation idea, which is obviously the main thing with Blind Square, is a huge thing, because outside navigation was revolutionized by Blind Square. Seems that indoor navigation is going to be as well, because the indoor navigation is weird, but sometimes indoor navigation is harder than outside, because outside you have this big open space, and usually you do have space to navigate, and you can still hear where the cars are and all that. But when you're inside, you have you get your, I don't know, people, children, chairs, flowers, doors, posts, everything on your way. And the thing is that outside surroundings sound very different, but inside it is the same all the time. So I guess that's why the indoor navigation is harder, and that's why the beacons are very useful.
I have a recording from one of the UK's biggest stores called Westfield. And I think it's across three floors, and I think it's a mile long per floor. And so indoor navigation in a place like that, there's water fountains and features and music blaring from every shop. That is a hard place to navigate, I'm telling you right now.
So as Blind Square is getting 3 years old, we want you to be happy too. Well, I know you are, dear listeners, but Ilkka, we have some discounts to give away to people.
Yeah, we have a really nice birthday gifts, I would say. Aftershocks is sponsoring us, so if you use coupon code BLINDSQUARE when you go aftershocks.com, you get 20% off and free shipping in US. So any Aftershocks product, 20% off and free shipping in US with promo code BLINDSQUARE. And then people in other countries, there is AT Guys. So it is www.atguys.com/store. They give also 20% off of Aftershocks product, but shipping you need to pay.
So you can check it out. I think before you, you can see the discount and the entire charge applied before you check out. So if you still think shipping is too much, then you don't have to. But it can be a great offer, maybe.
Yeah,
because if you don't still have Aftershocks, you should really get them, because those help you to navigate. If you wear your regular headphones while navigating outside, they usually are in or on your head, on your ears, and they block the external sounds. But Aftershocks just don't do that, and you can hear the cars, people, everything you need to hear to navigate, as well as Blind Square, and they don't interact with each other. I mean, they do interact, but they don't interact in bad ways.
And they have Braille.
Yes.
They have an L on them.
They do. Mine don't.
I just charged mine up for the first time in ages, so I'm charging.
My second generation one does have a Braille L for lift.
Okay.
Why doesn't mine have? Oh, you put it there?
Yes.
Oh, you put it there?
No. I didn't put it there.
It's on the inside. I have to now go and check. I have to now go and check.
It's on the inside, closest to your head. It's not on the outside. There's an L.
Right. Let me try to find it out.
I thought they really cared. They put Braille on them.
Where's my Aftershocks?
I ate them. Mine is actually just charging up on top of my Bluetooth keyboard, which I love too.
All right, I will have to check it out later, because I cannot find them. I just came from a trip, so they might be in the bag.
To help you locate.
Yeah,
I need an iBeacon for them. So let's talk a bit about the future as well, as we have 5 minutes until the end of the show. We talked about Apple Watch earlier. What's the future for Apple Watch and Blind Square? What do you want to be done in there? You know,
yes,
the current capabilities. So what would you like to do?
I know that the user interface of Blind Square is getting old. It is basically the same that it has been for 3 years, and we have such many features that I need to do something about it. So I believe I will start by implementing a really cool watch UI. And when I'm doing that, I'm thinking of how should I change the UI for the main app later on. And we have been discussing this quite a lot in our mailing list, so I do have ideas how to make it better and simple, etc. So we need to have main features on the main page and not on the tools menu, etc. But we need to do it carefully. So there are more than 10,000 users using Blind Square daily, and we can't do any changes without making sure it will be much better than what we have already.
I definitely agree. So I think, or I guess that the user interface remake is the big thing of 4.0.
Yeah, it could be that it will take time. So for now, we keep improving what we have and make it keep it simple enough and keep it stable, etc. And yeah. By the way,
stability is key.
Yeah. By the way, I have been releasing also very often. So I have been releasing for example, every month or so. But I have learned that it is not best to do that way, because often people are looking from the Apple Store reviews of the app, and whenever I change version, it kind of stops showing old reviews.
Yep.
So actually, that's something I would like to ask from my users, that when I release 3.0, please give another review, because then other people will know. Yes, this is.
I have read an article.
So update your old review. I think that will also work.
Yeah,
then
yeah.
You don't.
I read an article where developers were talking about reviews. You know those messages when you have what you have in the apps that ask for a review. I know that some apps do it the first time you open them, which is kind of strange, I think. But they have to
bug you and bug you about it for ages.
They have to if they have been made it right, then it doesn't annoy you. I personally, at least over here, think that the way Apple has implemented the review system, at least giving them, is kind of not good. Because the contrast here being that I can buy an app which is worth of $500 with my fingerprint, with Touch ID. But for giving a review, I have to manually enter the password. And that's why I don't often do it. And so it should be easier to do that as well.
I also don't like being bugged about it. Rate me, no thanks, or no at all. You know, it's just the wording as well. It makes you feel bad if you don't review right now.
Yeah. Actually, in Blind Square, whenever there is a new version, I will show that rate me kind of under other. So if you use that once, it goes away, but there it is easily available whenever version is changed and you haven't given.
That's acceptable.
I'll be using an app, and in the middle of me using the app, I'm doing something important. I've come with a stupid rate bot.
Yeah.
Go away.
But you could, what you could do as well is, I'm actually joking, but you could you should make the system, wherever you arrive to the place, it pops up the dialogue on screen, which is only button is rate.
Rate.
I don't like. But Sandra, actually, there are studies that people are not reading the old version reviews. So there are studies that you shouldn't release too often, because then you lose.
Tell Facebook that.
Yeah, but I thought if old reviews are updated, then the rating still applied, and then you get your 5 stars or whatever you've got, and that will still look good.
Yeah.
And then people can decide what they read.
Yeah, that's true. Hey, by the way, one more birthday gift. If you don't have Blind Square yet, there is no possibility, because later today, there will be motion explosion
radio show,
and there will be 3 copies of Blindspor available. So I really suggest you to tune in to motion explosion later today.
But meanwhile, you have to go and grab a coffee to wake up or stay up.
But let's bacon, thank please. Everyone. No coffee. So I'll contact for the great campaign because they're giving Beacons for Good.
Exactly.
And AT guys and Aftershocks because they're celebrating with us.
And they have such an awesome product as do Contact IO.
So thanks to all of them.
Thank you for listening of the show.
I'm going to get Beacons for Good and put one in every public toilet in the world.
Yeah, thanks, Ian.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you.
And
bye.
Happy indoor navigating for everybody.